Happy Sabbath, church family.
Happy Sabbath.
What a blessing. What a blessing to be here and to just fellowship together and to praise God together. And what a beautiful Sabbath day. You know, on the way down it was raining, but the sun is shining in San Diego. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day. By the way, if you're feeling cold, all you have to do is just move forward and get a little closer in the front. You'll get warmer, but that's up to you. We just want you to know that whether you're visiting us this morning, we're glad that you came, and we pray that your time with us here and with our God will be a time of joy and a time of relaxation and a time of just fellowshipping together and enjoying God's presence. You know, the words of the song that we just sang was just really impressed upon my heart again, and I just wrote them down quickly. The part of the song, I just want to be where you are. What does that mean? That we just want to be where God is. What does that mean? Why do we sing that? Can you think of any place that you'd rather be this morning? Besides in bed? No. No, but really, there. You know, you go through the checklist in your head. I imagine we can think of places that we might like to be, maybe with relatives in Nebraska or relatives in Hawaii or you know, wherever our relatives are, loved ones, the people that we care about, the people that we love, people that are close to our heart. But if you really think about it, ultimately, the best place to be is dwelling in the presence of God. Isn't that right? You know, that theme of dwelling in God's presence is a theme that runs throughout the Bible. And, you know, sometimes when I study God's Word and I'm preparing for my sermon on Sabbath mornings, I get going and I get studying and it gets so exciting and then I see other things that I want to study and I get off on those, you know, I shoot off on those topics and then I have to come back, you know, and pretty soon before you know it, you know, I've got five or six sermons going. And it's good though, because what I do with that then is I have this folder that I keep next to my chair, my favorite chair in the family room that I study in. And I just put those in there as seeds. You know, they're ideas for the next time. So God, it's wonderful how God blesses us when we study His Word, because He reveals to us many wonderful things, many gems that we can cherish and that bless us through the week. Oxygen for the soul. There's a story told about a young fighter pilot who was training to be a jet pilot. And he was young and ignorant, but he was very self-confident and a bit arrogant. And he was telling his instructors that there was no reason for him to wear an oxygen mask at high altitudes. There's no problem. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I've been at high altitudes before. There's no reason why I need to wear an oxygen mask, because I'm just better than the rest of the guys, you know? No problem. So with a smile, the instructors took him over to this very special chamber that simulated high altitude and oxygen depleted conditions. And they put him in there and then they asked him to write some information down on a piece of paper. They said, first of all, write your name down. Give us your address and your phone number and your family, names of your family, mom and dad, your brother, sister, uncle, aunt, whatever. Write those down. Give us your rank and your serial number. And when he was done, they took him out of the chamber and they asked him how he felt. He said, I'm feeling great. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I can handle high altitude. So then they asked him to look down at the piece of paper that he had so carefully written that information. And as he looked at that piece of paper, his face began to turn red. And he realized that it was important to have oxygen at high altitudes, because the information that he wrote down on that piece of paper was just a bunch of garbage. Had no meaning. Words were turned around. You know, the information was wrong. It was really sad. It's important for us to have oxygen. The human body was created to need oxygen. A number of years ago, I was privileged to give Bible studies to a young man. He was a professional scuba instructor. And at this time I was living up in Oregon, And he told me a story. In fact, it was a situation that had happened to him not so long ago. And as he told this story, I could tell because tears came to his eyes and he was reminiscing and remembering what had happened. He told a story about how he and one of his friends had gone diving off the coast of Oregon in a deep, deep water. And they had decided to go down to some pretty extreme depths. I don't know much, Marty. You could tell me more about how deep that would be. But they were down very, very deep. And as he was down there, suddenly he had malfunction of his regulator. I guess that's the thing that supplies oxygen. Some kind of a malfunction. He realized that he was in serious trouble. And so he began to head towards the surface. And I understand that they wear some kind of a vest that when they pull it, it fills with air and it gets them to the surface a little faster. Well, that malfunctioned too. So he had two malfunctions going. Suddenly he realized he knew that he was a dead man. He knew that he was finished. And he held his breath as long as he could, realizing well that the next breath would probably be his last breath. He would inhale water and that would be it. He would drown. And as he was wide-eyed and struggling there, suddenly a hand grabbed him from behind and another hand forced a regulator or a mouthpiece into his mouth. It was his friend. He had seen that he was in trouble and was offering him his oxygen. And together, I guess they have a buddy way of doing that, but they made it to the surface, sharing that one take of oxygen. Once again, we as human beings need oxygen. We cannot live without it. You can live without a lot of things in life, but the one thing that we as Christians cannot live without is God. Like the foolish fighter pilot and the scuba diver, we try often to function in our lives without God's presence, without time spent with God. We need oxygen for our souls. You know what I'd like to suggest? That oxygen, at least for me, I don't know what it is for you, but that oxygen for the soul is the Sabbath day. It is the day that God has prepared for us, a day of rejuvenation, a day to recharge our batteries, a day to fill our souls with God's fresh oxygen from heaven. The Sabbath is the oxygen supply for our souls. You know, I don't know if you realize, but I realize this more and more as I talk to people, that the world tries very hard to distract us from the Sabbath, from spending time with our God. Our busy lives keep us all wound up and stressed out, about ready to explode. And then Sabbath comes around. And all we want to do is come and breathe God's fresh air, God's oxygen, to be in His presence. The world wants to financially hogtie us and emotionally, it wants to break us down so that we lose our dignity as humans and also we lose our God. And so that's why. That is why God created the Sabbath for us. So that when we're all wound up and when we're all stressed out, that we have a time that we can come and breathe of the fresh air that heaven supplies for us, the oxygen that heaven supplies for us. It doesn't matter what it is that has created or caused you to be stressed out or caused you to lose your way. The good news is that you don't have to drown in the cares and the worries and the stress of this world. And like that fighter pilot who thought he had it all figured out, who thought he didn't need fresh oxygen, we sometimes get our information all turned around. We get our priorities all twisted and all confused. But when we breathe of the fresh air of heaven, when we come into the presence of God and God offers the freshness of good news of salvation, it is then that we realize that that we need what God has to offer. You know, I've noticed that the older I get, the busier I get. And the busier I get, the more I realize that I need the Sabbath. The Sabbath is important to me. I want that time that I can set aside each week and just relax in God's presence. Spend time reflecting on what God has done for me and praising Him and coming here to this place and worshiping Him and uplifting His holy name and praising Him and blessing Him for all that He is and does in my life. You know, God comes to us in many different ways in our everyday lives. But on the Sabbath day, I believe the Bible clearly states that God set the Sabbath aside for a very special reason. He set the Sabbath aside so that we could spend time with Him. Special time with Him. On the Sabbath, in worship experience, God manifests Himself in a different way. I want to underline that word, manifests Himself in a different way. One of my favorite songs, and we sing it here frequently, is written by Michael W. Smith. It's called, "This is the Air I Breathe." This is the air I breathe. I love that song. I find myself singing it frequently throughout the week. The air that we breathe, the very presence of God in our lives. And I believe that the Sabbath, God intended the Sabbath to be a time that we are liberated from the tyranny of stressful lives. The tyranny of a nine to five job. The tyranny of the stress that living in this old world creates in our lives. God has liberated us from that on Sabbath. The Sabbath liberates us from the bondage of things, material things, and brings us into touch and into contact with a God that loves us regardless of how much we have or don't have. He loves us unconditionally. The Sabbath liberates us, yes, the Sabbath liberates us from each other sometimes. Sometimes, you know, the relationships that we have in this life, sometimes we need a break from them. Maybe it's a boss who's constantly hammering on you, or maybe it's some relationship that with somebody who you know, is a person who tends to whine a lot or fuss a lot, or somebody who's stressed out a lot. And maybe sometimes we just need a break from that. Oh, yes, and I think that the Sabbath liberates us from ourselves. Isn't that interesting? Because you see, it's in the Sabbath that God asks us to forget about the week. He asks us to forget about all the things that feed us and spend time just in His presence, worshiping, fellowshipping, praising, enjoying being in God's presence. Someone once said that the Sabbath assures us a warm spot on the bench beside God. I like that. The Sabbath assures us a warm spot on the couch next to God because He cares about you and He cares about me. The Sabbath liberates us from the sinful environment that we so often have to operate in and function in this world. But once again, the question comes to us, do we really want to be liberated? Do we? God wants to manifest again. God wants to manifest His presence in our worship. In our worship. But you know what? We have to make room for Him. Sometimes our lives are so crowded. Sometimes our minds are so crowded. Sometimes the bench that we sit on is so crowded that there's no room for God in our lives, much less in our worship experience. Making room for God to manifest Himself in our worship experience. A friend of mine once said that every congregation makes a choice as to what degree they want the presence of God in their midst. Huh? Every congregation. You know, and I got to thinking about that this week, and I thought back over the 27 years of pastoral ministry. And you know, I guess I can just be very, very blunt with you. I only know of probably two, maybe three congregations that I have pastored in 27 years that really attempted to and made it a point to seek the manifestation of God in their worship experience. I mean, let's face it, we got it all figured out. Here's how we worship God, and we come and we have it all in a bulletin and it's all lined up, and we do the two hymns, the praise song, the scripture, the special music and the sermon, and we go home. And that's supposed to be worshiping God. And maybe here at Point Loma, we come and we do several sets of songs, and we have our prayer and we have our sermon, and that's worshiping God. Is it? Well, it really depends on whether you've left room for God in your heart. Isn't that where it's at? You know, our worship team spend a lot of time. I don't even dare tell you how much time they spend in preparing a worship experience here. Okay? They pray. They search their hearts. They search their songbooks. They search the Word. And on their knees, they prepare a worship service. It doesn't mean a thing unless you've come prepared to receive God's manifestation. And I'll tell you, I've been in some glorious, glorious worship experience in my life. And I've walked away at times from those experiences wanting. Not because there wasn't a beautiful experience, but because I didn't come expecting a manifestation of God's presence in that experience. And what's amazing, you can talk to someone else that was at that same worship service, and they will tell you that they felt the presence of God there, that they felt His manifestation there. You see, a lot of it has to do with the frame of mind, with the attitude that I come. Am I expecting God to manifest Himself in this worship experience? What do I bring to the experience, to the worship experience? Every congregation makes a choice as to what degree they want the presence of God in their midst. And we choose that by how much time and space we allot to praising Him. How much time and space we allot to praising Him and worshiping Him. So if you're low on soul oxygen, then you might think about spending a little more time in worshiping God. And I'm not just talking about on Sabbath, I'm talking about throughout the week. Don't come to on Sabbath morning and expect, you know, to be supercharged or to be, you know, to be spoon-fed or to be filled up on Sabbath. You've got to have a daily experience with your God. So that when you come on Sabbath, you have something to bring, something to worship God, something to praise Him for. I think most of you know, and if you're a visitor here this morning, maybe this will be new information to you, but to those of us that are members of this congregation, we know that here at Point Loma, not Loma Linda, Point Loma, We are about discovering God. If you look at your bulletin, you'll see it's right there in the bulletin every single Sabbath. I know that, you know, your eyes go right past it because there's other things you want to see. But every Sabbath, it's right there, because every Sabbath, we want the members of this congregation, we want guests and visitors to know that what this church is all about is discovering God, getting to know God. That's at the very center of this church family, this community. And of course, the number one, the most important thing, the top priority that we see here at Point Loma is to praise and to worship God. It takes first place. We're looking for God to manifest His Holy Spirit here in this place, both in our lives individually and corporately. You know, it's been said that every Sabbath when we come to worship God, when we come into His presence to worship Him, we are building a place that God inhabits. Every Sabbath when we come here to worship God, when we come to praise Him, when we come to extol Him and to glorify Him and to lift Him up, every day we come and we build a place for God to inhabit. Every Sabbath we invite Him to inhabit our praises. Our praise, of course, is not intended to flatter to God or to appease God. Our praise is showering upon God because we love Him and we are devoted to Him, and that we, our hearts are so filled with joy and thanksgiving that it just flows out of our lips. Another favorite song of mine is, I don't know if it's Chris Tomlin or, well, it's We Bow Down. I love that song too. We bow down and we cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus and we cry, holy, holy, holy. It echoes of the words in Revelation when all of God's people gather around the throne of God and the 24 elders bow down. And all who come to worship God, they all bow down and they cry, holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty. What did you come expecting this morning? Worship and praise of God ultimately leads to God manifesting Himself in our presence. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews is one of the books of the Bible that I enjoy because, you know, as you know, Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter on faith. But Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. But you, members of Point Loma Seventh-day Adventist Church, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator, and to a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Therefore, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be what? Thankful. Let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Verse 15 of chapter 13. I like this too. I just want to add this to the passage that we just read, chapter 13, verse 15. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us, and I like the word continually, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of what?
Praise.
Of praise. The fruit of what? Someone else's lips? Oh, I used to love those those days when I could sit in the balcony of PUC Church, way up at the very back of the balcony, which was way high, and I could listen to those glorious choirs. Oh, they were wonderful. They were beautiful. They were, and the pipe organ, the man that played the pipe organ, man, he could play that pipe organ. He could shake that building. Huge building. But you know what? My lips were closed. I wasn't praising God. It took many, many years later and a lot of learning and a lot of experience to realize that part of the worship experience, in fact, the larger portion of the worship experience, is what I have to offer up to God. The praise that comes from my lips, it glorifies God. It uplifts God. It extols God. And when God is lifted up, then God manifests Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's something I want to run by you real quick in closing. God manifests Himself in... There are many ways, but I boiled them down to three ways. And you can disagree with me on this, and that's fine. You can work up a sermon, and we'll have you preach it. But here's three ways. Number one is God's omnipresence. Would you all agree? God's everywhere. He says He is. He's capable of being everywhere. He's capable of being with the church in Africa that's worshiping on Sabbath, along with the church here in Point Loma, along with the church up in Loma Linda, along with the church back in you know, North Dakota or whatever. God is omnipresent. He says He is. All right? God has also promised His presence. I will be with you, what? Always, even to the end of the world. God promises to be with us individually, always. He is there to guide our path. He is there to love us. He is there to help us. He is there to give us wisdom and counsel. God is present. Okay? The third one is what? God's manifest presence. Now, there's a difference. Okay? When God manifests His presence, let me tell you, it's a whole different thing. And that concept of God's manifest presence is throughout the entire Bible. It starts, we give you examples of it starting clear back with Cain and Abel. You can go right on through through Noah. There, when they got out of the ark, God manifests Himself there by the rainbow. You can carry that experience right on through where God manifests Himself in front of Moses there in the burning bush. And then God manifests Himself to Pharaoh. Then God manifests Himself to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai in a mighty way. God manifests Himself throughout the history of the children of Israel over and over and over again, especially when they were in worship. Somehow when we worship God, He manifests Himself in mighty ways. And then, of course, as Marty mentioned this morning in the book of Acts, God manifests Himself in a mighty way by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Need I say that God wants to manifest Himself every time His children gather to worship? God's manifest presence comes when God's people praise Him and seek His face. And that's what we're all about here at Point Loma. We're all about knowing God. We're all about worshiping God. We're all about seeking His presence, His manifest presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. Especially during this time of year when we are reminded of how God manifests His presence through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us not forget to worship God.